You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Cary Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, this is Cary Oberbrunner. Welcome. It is episode 86 of the Igniting Souls podcast. Can you believe that? We are talking today about unexpected encounter at the airport. It is a blast to be with you today. It's early. It's early Sunday morning. I'm up. I'm hanging with you. In fact, I am about to go exercise after this little thing that we do called the podcast. And I just love getting up early, chatting with you. My business partner, David, and I were talking this week, and we said, you know, how is the podcast going? What are we hearing? Should we keep doing it? Is it helpful to people? And as we looked at the iTunes reviews from all of you generous people, we have 79 reviews. And if you haven't reviewed it, go ahead and check that out, because it is so fun to read what is going on in your lives. This is just one small little window that we have into people's lives and hearts. And anytime we kind of evaluate and say, hey, is this going well? Should we keep doing it? We go back to the iTunes reviews and we see people and their life change, and it fires us up and it makes us realize, you know what, this is helping individuals take action. In fact, a stranger came up to me today, and I guess it was the episode where I just bust that one dude over the head. You know what I'm talking about? This is one of the most downloaded episodes. If you have not listened to this one, check out episode 66, How to Make Fast Cash as a Professional Coach. Kicking your coaching business into high gear overnight. That episode, more than any other one, at least for the time being, just, I guess you would say, popped people in the mouth. You guys are telling me you like it. The truth telling, you like it raw. You don't want sugar coating. Why? Because I think, at least from your statements, you're telling me you want someone in your face who's authentic, who's real, who loves you, who cares about you, who's encouraging, but also isn't afraid to pull back the mask and say it how it is. And so that's kind of what I'm hearing. If you are enjoying the Igniting Souls podcast and you haven't reached out, trust me, I read each one of those comments. Please go over to iTunes. It's pretty easy. You just search for Igniting Souls podcast, then you click view in iTunes, it opens up, you click ratings and reviews, and then you put down your own thoughts and words. And then what I do is I actually feature you by name. I want to promote you as well. I love to promote people, and there's always a tasteful way to do it. And this is kind of the way that I promote people on the podcast, is through their reviews. I've been thinking this week what to talk about the next few episodes, and it became so clear. I spent an afternoon thinking about this week. It was a great week. I did a consulting gig at Spark Space, the most creative business place on the planet. It's in Columbus, Ohio. If you have not gone to Spark Space, just even go to the website, sparkspace.com. Was able to consult, train, and coach the Shawshank staff. So on my author page on Facebook, I think there's a little few pictures of us where we had crazy hats, boxing gloves. Look, Shawshank needed to be popped in the mouth in a good way. And they now have their 2020 vision, which they're going to release on December 3rd. It is so fun to just invest a little bit in a company to get them clarified on where they're supposed to go. So that was fun on Friday. Other things that are happening. Oh man, we are pumping up, getting ready for the conference, the Igniting Souls conference that's coming October 22nd and 23rd. We just expanded our team. So welcome, Abby. Welcome, Abigail. She's called Abigail, but she likes to be called Abby. So big shout out to her. We're growing and we found a stellar rock star new team member. So congrats, Abby. Things are exciting. Things are just really stepping up here all around. More authors than ever. A bunch of our authors launched this week. Shout out to Vicky, who published Undeterred. And we have more authors publishing in the next 90 days than ever. So Author Academy Elite is rocking. So many of you are part of that. It is just exciting. Flag football team, undefeated. So yes, my assistant coach, Jason, listens to this. Big hey to Jason. Our team is now undefeated for my son's team. We're excited for him. And we're trying all kinds of crazy stuff, crazy plays. It is fun. Leaf piles in the backyard with my daughter and actually my daughters. The youngest one jumped in there the other day. So fall's coming, my favorite time of year. But that was just a little bit of fun as we get started today. What the topic is, it's called Unexpected Encounter at the Airport. I am loving this fiction book, this young adult fiction book. You are sharing with me that it is making big waves in your life. This is fun. I am releasing a chapter a week. So I guess the term is called serializing the novel, I think. Who knows? This is all new for me too. But we thought, let's invite the listeners, you, on a journey the next 14 weeks. So every Sunday, it's called Sneak Peek Sunday. It's at elixirprojectbook.com/free. And what we're doing is we are releasing a chapter a week, and then we kind of say, hey, what are your thoughts? And it is amazing because people are saying, I would change this, I would tweak that, or this is exciting, or what about this? Or I think Uncle Kai is not who he says he is, or I think Swarm is hiding some secrets, or is Elixir really what they are saying they are? It is so fun. It's like this TV show, I guess, that we're releasing every week. I'm having the time of my life. And because of that, because of your comments, you're saying, let's talk more about it. So we are going to talk more about Elixir Project every week from now until December 6th, which is launch day. I am actually going to open up some of your comments and we are going to chat about this. Because I think it's a fun little place. And in fact, somebody woke up this morning from Australia. And in fact, her name is Marilyn Hughes. And Marilyn Hughes said, what's going on? It's Sunday in Australia. And what did she say? She says, Sundays have become such a long day in Australia, waiting for the U.S. to wake up and for Carrie to share the next chapter. So I am going to give you guys a sneak peek, a special, unplugged little chat. And I think there's so much we can learn about this. Here's why I think we should do this. Number one, if you are a fiction author and you want to know how to write, promote, publicize, market your next book, I think this is a really good strategy because I'm going to give you a lot of tips, tools, and tricks along the way. Secondly, if you are nonfiction writers and you say, how do I turn my books into a product or service or even a fiction author? I'm doing this, folks. I'm teaching you every step along the way. Nothing I do is purposeless. Everything has an intention and a reason. And so I am sharing with you on purpose why I'm doing what I'm doing because I want you to go faster, to go further, to do shortcuts. So in chapter one, you meet Sienna. And Sienna is this college girl. She's 18 years old. She's at the airport. She's ready to go to Greece with her three friends, and their names are Darren and Nick and Chloe. Chloe's her roommate. Nick is a strong running back. He's a beast. He's strong. He's tough. Chloe and Nick have a little relationship going on. They like each other. And Chloe's just a beautiful gal. She has parents that love her, a boyfriend that adores her. She has a lot of bubbly personality going on. Sienna could be jealous, but she's not. Sienna and Chloe have a great friendship. Sienna's kind of introverted. She kind of is introspective. She is a thinker. And so Chloe kind of talks out everything, but Sienna takes everything in. And Sienna's in a tough spot. You learn very quickly that Sienna is someone who had her parents taken from her at a young age. We don't know why yet, but at a young age, Sienna, actually at the age of 3, she lost her parents. And she's curious. She is thinking, you know, everyone's telling me it's an accident. Everyone tells me it's an unfortunate accident. Of course, she was too young at the age of 3 to remember. But as a result, she has a lot of questions. And one evening, we find out that she goes on her own amateur investigation. Like, what happened to them? What are they not telling me? And she doesn't really find any other details. So she's curious. And we, the readers, are kind of curious, like, what's going on? What's the backstory to this? Well, they live in a world where there is a hacktivist group called Swarm. And this is where you're going to start seeing a lot of blending in of near future things. And I think that's why some of you are enjoying the book, because the near future tech and sci-fi, it can happen. This is stuff that is very close to happening. In fact, I love what some of you are saying. Carol Davis says, "Why did you stop? Keep reading, Mom. What do you mean? I have to wait. What? How long? A month? Seriously?" My 15-year-old's reaction to the first chapter. Now he is begging me for my phone to reread it. I say, "Tell your 15-year-old he's awesome." I haven't had young adults read it, so this is a very good sign. Carol says, "I read your comment to him. A big smile. He is quite happy to hear he only has to wait a week, not a month." The word hacked totally has him hooked. He said this storyline makes him think of the group Anonymous that keeps threatening to hack different people and entities in our world today. He was also curious how technical it might get, coming from his love of all things IT related. So that's just Carol from her son's 15-year-old perspective. One of the best compliments I'm getting is that a lot of people are saying, "Carrie, I don't read fiction. I don't like fiction." And here's what Brenda says. "I don't normally read fiction, but I am trying to expand my imagination, so this intrigues me." That's fantastic. Mason Van Dyke says, "I enjoy the way we start in as part of the story, being drawn in as the first person in the middle of an unknown certain situation is a great way to draw in the reader." So what I did in this chapter is I actually become Sienna. And some people are freaking out because of that. They're like, "What? You know, you're going to be a 40-year-old dude. What do you know about an 18-year-old young adult fiction perspective?" And it is fun. It is fantastic. It's a major stretch. And I write in present tense. So everything that you see is happening in real time. It's happening to the young girl, Sienna. And we find that they're in the line at the airport and TSA is actually pretty upset. They stop a certain young looking business couple. This business couple, super attractive, you know, dressed really slick. They're in line and they're basically confronted by a TSA officer named McNulty. And McNulty stops them and he says, hey, we can either talk about this here or in the back control room. And when he says the word control room, he's got a twinkle in his eye, almost a wink. And Sienna feels like it's something bad. She doesn't get a good vibe from Nick Nolte. He smells like cheap aftershave. He smells like wet dog. His eyes are bugging out. And he is confronting this couple. And he basically says, we need to strip search them in the back control room. And the young professional gal says, you are not strip searching me. I am not getting naked. You are not putting a finger on me. And her business associate, this young man, says, what did we do wrong? Why are you confronting us? And McNulty drops a bomb. It's worse than a cuss bomb. I mean, he drops a bomb like you wouldn't believe. He says, we know you are part of Swarm. And time stumbles. And everybody kind of flips out when he says the word Swarm. Because Swarm in this world, in this society, is horrible. I mean, it is the worst enemy you can ever think of. These are hacktivists who basically have drones, you're going to find out, who rip kidneys out of people on the black market. This is a hacktivist group that steals, robs, kills. They permeate the dark web and they can do whatever they want. And people in line begin flipping out and freaking out, and they begin to push the line forward, and a brawl just takes place in the middle of the airport line. Why? Because people have so much pent-up rage at Swarm. Swarm has basically indirectly injured everybody in this world, and they're pretty ticked. And so Sienna and her friends have to crouch low. They have to escape the line because fists are flying, bodies are toppling, and this one bald man in the back pushes through, army crawls over to the young professional who's been pegged as a Swarm hacktivist and begins just beating him to a pulp. McNulty has to pull out his stun gun, zap the guy, and folks, this is just in the first couple paragraphs. People are saying to me like, oh my gosh, this book starts out way too fast. Things are just flying quick, and that's the way I wanted it. I actually watched the beginning few minutes of The Matrix 1, and I said, Matrix 1 is a scene that I love because you don't know what's going on. You don't know who Trinity is. You don't know why the agents are after her. You don't know what's going on. There's a chase scene and you are entered into a new world and you are just hanging on to your seat. That's how I want to start it. That's how I wanted to start Elixir Project. In the beginning, I started it way too slow. I had a first draft and my brother-in-law read it, Mike. Thank you, Mike. And he said, Carrie, this is slow. If this is a young adult fiction, you need to just pop off the pages. You need to go after it. And so I made massive changes, and now you get introduced into this Columbus Airport scene where essentially all chaos breaks loose, and there are people being stunned, people being popped in the mouth, people being threatened. Nothing's gruesome. Nothing's excessively violent. This is a scene that could happen. It could easily happen, just like when 911 happened years ago, 15 years ago, and people had this stored up rage, and it was that they hadn't had the chance to emote on how they felt about terrorists attacking buildings. Well, I modeled this after a lot of emotions. I studied so much for this book. 2 years of study into young adult fiction genre, into sci-fi, into tech, into hacktivism, into dark web. There are so many things. People are reading this book And what I'm hearing, I'm going to read you the comments, because there's no better way than to say, okay, here's what you said and wrote and by name. And I want to read this, because some of you are just, you're rock stars. You are so kind. You are being honest and you're being unfiltered. And trust me, not everything I received back was glowing. Some people are saying, oh, I'd change this. I would do this differently. What about this? And that's great. And others are saying, how can you change this, Carrie? Because I am literally changing this. There are 700 edits that I have to submit this week. Big, big edits, small edits. So this is super fun that you guys are building this as we go. So Renee, who's one of our early readers, I just love how when the chapter's posted, Renee Vidor jumps on and says, hey, here's what's coming. Here's what I think. She said, love the suspense and hanging point at the end of chapter 2. What's coming up next? I think the students are unknowingly part of the Elixir Project and the uncle has them as pawns. Interesting. Tanisha Williams says, although I want a smart ring, by the way, these are called Cortex in the chapter. So there's so many cool sci-fi things that happen. You actually get introduced to this new smart ring called Cortex, which, again, I did massive research. Could this happen? Would this happen? What would be the features? So there's this whole lens of realistic stuff that's going on. And I heard from so many people, I want a smart ring because of all the cool things that it does. I want a Cortex. So who knows? Maybe we'll prototype this thing. But she says, I'm suspicious of why the uncle gave them to Sienna. Why did Uncle Kai give smart rings, Cortex, to Sienna and her friends? Is it for beta testing? And what are the rings' true purpose? Sienna is written very well, multidimensional character, and one feels for her vulnerability, intelligence, loyalty, and determination to find the truth of her parents' death. I cannot wait for chapter 3. Sheila and Bill Hiltz says, it's suspenseful and pulls you in without knowing it. I love that technology is being revealed, leaving us hanging with the statement, can't wait to see how they use tech against Swarm. So here's one that's Deborah Hemstreet, all the way from Israel. The character of Sienna feels very real, particularly her thought process. I'm not convinced that her uncle is a bad guy yet. He could be naive or evil. It's too soon to tell. Ashley says, I love the fact that she doesn't know. I think it was Ashley. She says, I love the fact that Sienna doesn't know how to give a response when she gets a gift. So true story, when I get a gift, I never know what response I'm supposed to have. So some of the stuff that is true about Sienna, I wrote in because I struggle about that. And so, you know, why not? You create a character who struggles with some of the stuff that you struggle with. So it's fun. This is real life characters. These are not perfect characters. They're not above pain and above just emotions. They have real pain and real ideas. Marilyn Katie Osborne says, okay, I'm already in love in a love-hate relationship with Carrie. She says, I love being a participant in Elixir's launch team and I enjoy your writing style, but I hate the fact that I have to wait for the next chapter. And I said to her, at least you hate me for good reasons. So listen, I am just thrilled. This is so exciting. I've always wanted to create something like this. And the fact that I can share it with you privately before anybody else, the fact that you can shape where the book is going. Oh, Marilyn is typing as we speak. I just uploaded chapter 33 30 minutes ago. And so I'm going to read you in real time. This is so funny. Marilyn is literally, it says on Facebook, a friend is typing a comment. So I think it's Marilyn, but she's going to tell me fresh off the press what she thinks of chapter 3. I'll read it to you. But here's the point. I want to give you guys so much. I want you guys to experience this front row seat, fresh out of the gate. Here's where you can get it all free. Elixir Project Book. ElixirProjectBook.com/free. ElixirProjectBook.com/free. I want to hear your thoughts. If you have not downloaded, I want to hear what you're thinking. Each week now, I'm going to give you guys kind of a backstory, secret stuff. Where did I write this book? It actually takes place in a real place. I went into certain buildings. I went into certain study. Okay, it was not Marilyn. It was Ashley, because I couldn't tell. Ashley says, I don't want to ruin it for anybody else who hasn't had a chance to read it, but the last sentence, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. What's Sienna going to do? Is she going to go with them or run? Oh, the suspense. At this point, I would not be able to put the book down. I would be canceling plans to go to the next chapter. So I'm going to type in and say, Ashley, this is so funny because this is like happening in real time. I'm going to say, Ashley, thanks for your response. I am literally reading your amazing comments on podcast episode 86. You are being featured. Thanks for the amazing feedback. I told you guys, this is an experiment. We are doing some crazy, crazy things, like posting a chapter, reading in real time, Ashley's response. It's 6:25 a.m. Sunday morning. You can go back to the Elixir Project VIP launch experience. By the way, you all can be part of this. We have 471 members. 24 people just joined in the last few days. This is so fun. It is fun. We are trying new innovative things to launch this in real time with a real crowd and a real community. And folks, I am so excited to take you along for the journey. I'm probably going to go on site with my iPhone and say, okay, I'm standing in this location. Here's why I wrote the chapter with this frame of mind. And then don't forget, the book already has a sold out crowd. Like literally, if you don't believe me, I'm shocked. IgnitingSoulsConference.com. We are now 4 tickets away from being sold out. We will sell out. And the whole conference is called Becoming Unhackable. And I'm sharing with you folks in real time, here's the topic of the book, how you can become unhackable, how Sienna was unhackable, how her friends were unhackable. But then also I'm teaching you the real nonfiction way, cutting edge stuff about how you can become unhackable in work and life. Crazy stuff. This is unbelievable. I'm having the time of my life and I'm so honored that you want to come with me on this journey. Share this podcast episode, please. Because again, our passion is to ignite 1 million souls. I don't know anyone else in the world. Just let me just say this. Are people making fun of me? Absolutely. Are there haters? Unbelievably, yes. Folks, you cannot do new innovative things outside the lane, outside the box, without getting some people who say like, you're an idiot. You're a loser. It is fun. Who cares? Other people are saying, I can't believe this. I don't know anyone else in the world who's writing a fiction book about, by the way, that doesn't even breathe an iota of anything else in the book. Like, this is not a bait and switch. This is a book that I knew I had to write so good. I hired an unbelievable team. I mean, think about it. The third round of edits has 700 mistakes. These are from some of the top people in the world. This book is kicking my butt. My first editor round cut 20,000 words. That's a quarter of the book. So I am getting beat down in unbelievable ways through this process. And I'm sharing with you, is it tough? Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's tough. It's by far the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. Toughest thing. I went through grad school and did a doctorate, and that was a cakewalk compared to this. Seriously. Why? Because it's tough. This is, if you are a fiction writer, hats off to you. If you are a nonfiction writer who crossed over, hats off to you. But here's the point. The book has a live event. The book has a course. The book has a program. The book has a movement. The book has a community. The book has serialized novel chapters. The book literally took place on a real campus in real buildings. I had to go listen to the director of the FBI talk about what's happening in hacktivists today just to research the book. This is so much fun. And I just want to say thank you for coming with me on the journey. I am so honored. I am so privileged. Someone this week said, why are you doing this? I said, because it's an idea, because it came to me, because I think God gave me the idea. And I'm just the one who's the messenger. And if I bury it and hide and am scared and all this stuff, all that drama, look, how can I tell you to go trust your dreams? How can I tell you to take action? I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this because of what I teach. Everything is being called into question. Everything is a gut check. I am forced to say to myself, okay, I told the online audience to be passionate. I told them to go for it. I told them not to be scared. And I am having to eat my own food and drink my own medicine. So what you could do that would be so fun, it would honestly serve me so much, is to get other people to join this party. We have a crazy goal of 10,000 people reading this book before it even releases, just to dialogue, converse, debate. And all of this is happening at the Elixir Project Facebook group. You can request to join. We'll add you today. And already there is a big debate going on about chapter 3. What's going on? What's he holding back? What's not really happening? And it's just fun. It's fun. So folks, thanks so much to you, specifically you, for listening to this and for engaging. Again, this was called Unexpected Encounter at the Airport, episode 87. We're going to talk about more, and I'm going to share, and who knows, we might even bring live guests on. I'm excited to do everything and anything with this book, so we might bring live guests on and chat about it. I think that would be fun, actually. In fact, let's do that. We're going to do that. We are going to have a live chat on Facebook Friday. Okay, so I'm going to film this. True story. October 7th, I'm going to film this at the Igniting Souls Fellowship afterwards, and we're going to have a round table. And I don't know, the idea just came to me. So if you want to be part of that round table, you want to be blasted to thousands of people, you want to have a front row seat, and we film this thing, in real time about Elixir Project. I am so excited. That's what we're going to do. We have made a decision. It's going to be a round table. It's going to be October 7th, and we're going to make it happen. I don't know all the details yet because I'm still thinking through them as they're coming to me. But when an idea comes, I say, let's do it. Let's take action. So I am just going to type this into the notes. October 7th. Just had a crazy idea, and we are going to do it. Stay tuned. I'm typing that in the Elixir experience, and I'm going to have chairs, and we're going to have a little round table, and we're going to have a discussion, and it is going to be so much fun. Oh my gosh. Cannot wait. All right. Well, folks, I'm going to go exercise, go run, go make it happen. I always say this on weekends, connect with your creator, your core, and your community. And it is an honor. It is a joy. It is a blessing to serve you, Igniting Souls Tribe. Thank you so much. You make my life amazing. And I believe in you. And let's go ignite 1 million souls by 2020. Talk to you later.